Murdoch. I'm coming to get you.
Remember, Sally, when I promised to kill you last?
I lied.
I am the law!
Get off my plane.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
John, I'm not gonna shoot you between the eyes! I'm gonna shoot you between the balls!
Your disease. And I'm the cure.
I'm gonna take you to the bank, Senator Trent.
There can be only one!
Dead or alive, you are coming with me.
Yippee-ki-yay. I'm going to kill them all, sir.
What's going on, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Gimme Back My Action Movies, the podcast, Month of Chaos. I am one of your immortals tonight, because tonight it's not only can there be only one, there can be only three. And I am Charlie. The second one is Nate, who is with me here all the time. Say hello, Nate.
Well, hello there. It's nice to be here. Hello, Pete.
And Pete is our third immortal.
Is that Ironside or McCloud? Which one was that?
I am kind of McCloud or the Clan McCloud.
The clan's like, I'm an old man now.
I've got to change
my depends here, because that's what you sound like when you're old.
Pete's not even making a voice.
We just had sex in an alley.
Yeah.
This is called the quickening.
Well, right. There's a problem with that, because if it's called the quickening, is it technically a quickie then?
I don't know. It was painful to watch either way. But our own very own Spanish peacock that you're listening to over there is Pete. Say hello, Pete. Our Scottish, here again. Spanish guy that we
have. Wait to watch a good movie one of these days.
He's Egyptian.
Well, he's Egyptian also. It's a little bit of everything. He's our mutt.
I was going to say, he's a bit of a mutt.
He's a bit of a mutt tonight.
Sexy mutt. With a great butt.
Got a great butt and I cannot lie. Maybe lie a little bit. Well, this is our fourth episode in our month of chaos, and I am on the board once again. We were all three up. We started out with Carnosaur, then I got my jab in with Virtuosity. Nate nailed us with a little Dead and Loving It, a little bit of comedy flavor. And today I got revenge for every damn thing these two have made me sit through. Two Pete months, three Feast movies. I pulled the ultimate asshole move and made a double feature of one movie. And the only thing that could be was Highlander 2. The Quickening.
I wish there could be only one, but we had to watch two. As a matter of fact, aren't there three? Aren't there three endings or something like that? Did I read that right?
There's three versions.
Yeah.
Technically four.
They're trying to pull a Blade Runner on us. I mean,
I got info for you guys on that. So
there's a British version. There's actually a TV cut version. There's now a fan edit that they're trying to fix things.
Oh, God.
You can't fix this. The Renegade version might be worse. I don't know. All right.
It's worse because it's longer.
That's for sure. It does not need to be an hour and 50 minutes long.
No, we're starting way too quickly here. Well, no. I know it's the quickening, but that's too fast. I gotta play the trailer. And, I almost pulled another asshole move and played the trailer for the theatrical and for the Renegade, but there's almost no dialogue in the theatrical one. I was like, I'll be nice. I got the trailer that is actually for the VHS and Laserdisc.
Oh, nice.
The Renegade cut.
Very cool.
So here is our Highlander.
We're sorry for 90 seconds straight.
I'm sorry.
We're sorry.
We're sorry.
In our distant future, where all hope is lost, planet Earth faces certain destruction.
Planet Earth!
And the only one who can save our world in time is the one who lives forever.
There can be only one.
Republic Pictures presents The Return of a Hero,
Who are you?
I'm Connor McCloud, and I cannot die.
And the rebirth of a legend.
You've remembered almost everything I taught you.
I've had a lot of practice lately.
The Highlander has come back in time to save our world.
Promise me you'll do something to stop this.
I will.
In his greatest adventure ever.
Your time is now.
Highlander 2, the Renegade version. Available on widescreen video cassette and deluxe collector's edition laserdisc. Bring them home today. The future of your world depends on it.
Oh, the days of the wide cut VHS. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Because nobody had widescreen TVs back then, and it was something to see, and it never
and
looked
honestly,
quite right.
I remember people hating the widescreen versions.
Oh, dude, my dad absolutely hated anything widescreen.
Like, good
why
on,
is
like,
it getting rid of my screen? Right. Yeah, right. Like,
why did it cut the picture, not realizing it's more picture?
Yeah, and right. Trying to explain that when you learned about it, and it's just like, no, it's taking away the picture. Like, oh, no, it's...
It's
whining it.
It's doubly funny when you watch old, like you watch old sitcoms like Cheers or Friends or something like that on your widescreen TV, and they do just the opposite. They put
the bars on the sides.
On the sides, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
now
man,
let me ask something about this trailer. Now, so
okay. They
said something about coming back to the future. No. That's. So they're coming from the past into the future to save the Earth that they screwed over anyway.
Not to save.
No.
To
save. They said
the
only person that can save. Yes. Okay.
In the
so
trailer.
The trailer was very confusing to me.
Well, yeah. Look what they're making a trailer about.
Wow.
It's kind of amazing the Renegade Cut could even exist in the first
Charlie's
place.
Charlie's only going to defend this movie so far.
I have to be real. Let's all be honest here.
Well, I feel like we should, you know, at least start with what was Pete's first experience with Highlander 2.
Okay. My so if Charlie held a gun to my head and said, yes or no, you've seen this movie, and I'm going to kill you if you said no, I would have said yes. I have seen this. I have absolutely seen this. I remember it distinctly. I remember The Quickening. I remember seeing Highlander 2, The Quickening. And I popped this bad boy in. I have never seen this movie, gentlemen, ever. Not once. I don't know where I thought I had seen it, what fever dream I was experiencing, but all my memories of Highlander are from, well, the Highlander. Nothing in this film struck any chord. I have no idea how I missed this. Kind of happy I did, though. So there you go. First time viewing.
Nice.
Amazing.
I swear to God, I had seen this movie. Definitely had not.
That's classic Pete right there. Nate, you're the baby of the group. What about you, bud? When was the first time you saw Highlander 2?
That is a very good question. It was probably after seeing 3, if I had to guess.
Mm-hmm.
And 3 was a closer sequel to the first
3
one, right?
3 right? Is basically a remake of Part 1, but a sequel.
Okay, Evil Dead 2.
Loosely.
Okay. It retcons everything from 2.
It almost ignores 2.
Okay.
Completely.
And it's got Lambert in it, right?
Yeah, still had Lambert and Mario Van Peebles.
Oh, Van Peebles. And, oh, shit.
Yep, he's the bad guy.
He's a wizard.
He's awesome in it.
Yeah, he's the best part about it.
I see this
it.
Now.
That one, we can recommend.
We can recommend 3.
Okay, all right.
So I remember us like running that. And then I feel like it was either the VHS or the DVD I had found at a thrift store. Oh. I remember that much because it had the like tannish cover that has said widescreen to the left of it, I believe.
Yep.
And I definitely remember it being the director's cut.
Okay. Yeah. So
of it,
the sepia tone.
And this is where I got a little confused though, because in 2004, I would have then been a sophomore. They re-released it on DVD with the cover that you had, Pete, where it was Connery and Lambert
looking at each other.
And the whole thing was this the special edition of Renegade. And I was like, that's already out. Why is this like a thing? Not realizing, I guess, until this week that it was basically they did a Lucas and went over the special effects.
Oh.
And did color palette changing and stuff like that. But for the most part, it's still the same movie. Now, I will say, I think this might be the first time I've ever watched the... No, I take that back. This is the second time I've ever watched the original cut. Because I remember the alien thing. I remember that being super stupid. And then I remember in the Renegade version where they get rid of it and me going, it's still pretty stupid.
Yeah, pretty much.
If anything, what was more jarring was seeing how poorly cut the theatrical version is. Like,
yeah,
my God, is you could tell that this movie is just missing chunks. Not in like a little bit in the beginning and like throughout the whole thing. It moves at such a breakneck speed that I was like, holy shit, I do not remember like it being like this kind of thing. I just remember them on that desert planet, but it's also because like the Renegade cut also, you know, does its best to just not say Zeist. But I'm going to assume this was probably somewhere in junior high for me, mainly because when Endgame came out, which that's right, Highlander Endgame was a thing.
Yes, it was.
Oh, I'm sorry. Wow. Yeah. What are you talking about?
Yeah. Highlander Endgame.
Highlander Endgame got to that title first.
Highlander the Source.
Yep. Now, I never watched the show. And it never really clicked with me. I loved wrestling. And I believe it was either Christian or Edge was in Highlander Endgame. So that was like a huge selling point.
Yep.
Only to find out that movie might be worse than part two.
You didn't watch the TV show.
Could be. Yeah, that could be.
That was after the TV show.
It was the passing of the torch between Duncan MacLeod and Connor MacLeod.
Yeah.
I remember being really bad. Like, I have not seen that movie. We're on a path now, so we're going to have to cover 3 and 4.
I have laid the groundwork for the future, boys.
So that's my long-winded response. What about you, Charlie? When was your first time?
Oh, my first time was not long after watching the original Highlander. This was kind of my dad testing the waters with swords, kids into this. I was about 14, 15, and I watched the first Highlander. And then you go to the video store, and what's next to Highlander at that point? Highlander 2 was sitting there. My rental place didn't have the Renegade version yet, even though it did come out in 94. They just had the Quickening, you know, the original one. So that's
which
I
remember that like buddy cop cover as well.
Yeah, they're back to back, the swords down the middle, the Quickening is underneath it. Yeah, that's the one I've always known. So first off, I want to say, Pete, I'm sorry, I really 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 should have dug deeper, because in my brain it was theatrical cut, Renegade cut, and that's what they're called. Not remembering that there is the Lucas special edition where they fixed all the picture and air, the special effects, and that it's not called Renegade version, even though it is the Renegade version. That we had a 30-minute conversation in the group chat one night of me trying to figure out to make sure Pete didn't watch the same version twice.
Well, yeah, and I think that was very important, but also it kind of uncovered that like they have kind of just buried the original one at this point.
Yeah, it's hard. So, it's hard to find. It's on.
So YouTube. It is on YouTube.
Charlie found it.
Yep,
I was able to find it for the theatrical.
Thankfully,
the one that is really really hard to find is the European cut. That actually has scenes that aren't in the Renegade version.
Really?
There is. It's not as long as the Renegade version. And they just, literally, they chop up Michael Ironside. Like, he's barely, like, in the movie when you watch the European version. And then there's additional cuts added. Then there's the television, our U.S. television version that used the theatrical and the European together. There's like six or seven versions of this movie out
like
there.
Like I said, Blade Runner.
So you're welcome. I only made us do two for our double feature.
No, I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you so much.
It was really confusing because when I got it from the library, I got the DVD, which was absolutely the Renegade cut. But then I got the Blu-ray, which is
the updated version.
Renegade director's cut. Yeah.
You watched the best version, honestly. That's the one you should have watched. The one you had on order is the one Nate's talking about. It was the widescreen special edition.
Yeah.
The cover of it is Connor with the trench coat walking. Yeah.
It's down a cool cover. It is. It's awesome. One of the only movies that I've actually gotten rid of that I traded in because I hate it so much and don't even care that's not with the collection. So then when we covered this, I went, son of a bitch. And then I went to Half Price Books and the special edition Blu-ray is super expensive now. And they had this version for $5. I went, nah, you're still not getting my five. No. $5.
I think both main versions are on YouTube at least, so you can
watch they are.
They were on Tubi forever, and then of course when we decide to cover it, not on Tubi anymore.
And when we get done covering it, it'll go back on Tubi.
Exactly.
Oh yeah. Next month the Highlanders will be on there. But anyway, back to me. I had watched the second one. Hey, 14 or 15 year old Charlie got a second Highlander movie, was fully in love with the television show. I loved Highlander 2. It had more of a sci-fi feel to it. There was hoverboards, a dude with wings. It kind of gave me a Escape from New York and LA vibe to it a little bit because I was watching those at the same time. And I watched this movie all the time. I think I even have a burned copy somewhere in the collection of VHSs I grabbed. And it wasn't till I was probably in my 20s till I realized there's a Renegade cut. And then I watched it going, oh, wow. They changed a lot. They added a lot. Actually, this makes more sense than the other one does. So Pete, I'm not 100% sure what was the better way for you to watch it. Because part of me was disappointed you watched the extended cut first.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, man, by watching the theatrical last, it's actually more jarring to see how badly it's cut and the effects that they use in the, like, there's so many shots of all the, regardless of how good the movie is, there are things I will praise this movie about. Their modeling and sets are gorgeous.
They're matte paintings.
There was 7 miles of film for the force field over the planet.
Wow.
In the theatrical cut, they used 5 feet of film. That's how shitty they got. This is truly the studio fucked them over. Granted, the story wasn't great, but this is going to be my hot take. I'm going to say to everyone listening, we're not going to rehash all the stuff. There's tons of documentaries that are amazingly done, dug into, but I am going to say this. Highlander 2 is our fault.
Yes. It's also the government of Argentina's fault because they had their economy crash when the movie started to be filmed.
They were at war. That's what some people forget. Argentina was at war.
So that was bad.
But no, what I'm saying is
Highlander 1 flopped, but then we gave it a lot of money on video. So they went, we should make a part 2. We don't know how to make a part 2 because part 1 ended perfectly.
Highlander 1 flopped in America.
Yeah. Oh.
It was a sensation overseas.
Really? Was it overseas?
Yes. Oh, okay. Dude, this hit France and it was as if the Avengers movie came out. There were like cutouts of, because they marketed it correctly.
Okay.
Fox didn't know what to do in America to market this movie. That's why the original Highlander poster is Christopher Lambert's face in black and white and all it says is Highlander underneath it. That was the marketing. Boring. Overseas, they pushed the whole Scottish angle of it, the swords, the fighting. they were rock stars overseas.
Kick ass. That's great.
But because this movie did do so well on rentals and the word got out, fans wanted more. We asked them, where did the Immortals come from?
That is true, which was a stupid thing.
Yeah. And so the studio saw money. They were like, look, we're going to give you a shit ton of money. Make this movie. So literally the directors and the writers and the producers are like, we'll figure it out. And then the studio came in and went, hey, you can't have Sean Connery for a cameo. And they're like, why? Because he has to be like second billing. He needs to be in the movie. And they're like, he died. How are we supposed to do that? They go, you'll figure it out. Here's money. And they gave Sean Connery $3 million for 6 days.
Oh, and guess what? They never figured it out.
They didn't. And then we had to use a bond company because we're filming overseas and that's how you secure the money. And they made an addendum.
A James Bond company?
No, a bond insurance.
Well, I mean, a James Bond villain.
Villain. So the bond company.
Spectra. They found a way to really get back at him.
If you went over $1 or you were late on the ending, the bond company took control of the movie.
Oops.
Because all they care about is a movie getting out and going into theaters. Mm-hmm. That's all they care about. And because they did go over budget and they weren't going to get finished, the bond company took over the movie, edited it. It wasn't even finished. There were still scenes to be done. And the bond company goes, we don't care. You're all basically out. They brought in their own editors. They brought in their own people. The director wasn't allowed in the editing room. No one was. Oh, and they cut the movie. And it's the reason we get the European cut, because Europe went, yeah, we ain't showing this piece of shit. We're going to recut it ourselves, distribute it ourselves. And that's why we got another version. And then finally, when it did its thing, the directors and for better distribution on video, they went, we have all of the footage. We need two more scenes. They brought everyone back after 4 years, filmed the additional scenes, and then released the Renegade cut on VHS and Laserdisc. Jeez.
Wow.
That's the summary of what has happened.
That's a story.
In a way, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we'd be here for three, 4 hours if we dug into the minutiae of Argentinian dollars versus U.S. dollars on why they were even down there. Argentina's beautiful. Like the set surroundings this movie.
But yet they made this movie so dingy and gross and wet and dark.
Well, they had to.
That was the premise of the film, that they had that problem sky dome around the entire Earth.
The premise of the film.
I do. They were really digging into, I mean, that was, you know, the start of Earth Day, the marketing for Earth Day, and the ozone was depleting quickly. Faster than they had ever expected. And I think that was very topical at the time.
I think it was. We had Captain Planet at the time for kids. So, you know, it was all about the environment.
It just doesn't make sense with a Highlander movie. Like,
well, at the end of the first Highlander, he is given all of the knowledge because he's killed all the immortals. He is given the power of knowledge in lieu of immortality. So, there's a problem. So it makes logical sense.
He would want to save the world if a problem like this were to occur.
There's a hole in the ozone layer, which was topical. So the writers are going, let's make it environmental. Let's do this.
Does not come across well.
I don't know. I'm not as harsh on it as far as the context of it, except for, like, is there any better way we could have done it without? Although, this is good. I'm going to do this a lot tonight. I thought I didn't like the alien angle until they took the alien angle out and all they are interdimensional beings from the past. And I'm like, I don't think I like that better.
All right. So I had this weird revelation as well when I was watching it going, like, I guess if I had to pick the lesser of two evils, I guess I'll go the alien route because attempts to describe what they are.
No, I don't want either of those.
We're not saying either. We're saying what was filmed and what they gave us. And I'd rather stuck with the aliens.
Now, if it was up to me, Pete, you never explain it to us, and that's that. Like, they're immortal. Get over it.
There were 1,000 immortals at the beginning of time, and over the years,
yeah, you got
whittled themselves down or something.
There needs to be a finite number, and that's where, like, even the director. I was watching the documentary, "The Beauty of Argentina," before this, and he goes, "Look, had we known, and this is all hindsight's 2020, people, had we known, we would have ended the first one on a cliffhanger. He would have won the prize, and there would have been like this one thing that happened where you're like, what was that? You know, and I know we're going to cover it eventually. Who knows how soon we're going to cover it. But look, part three basically goes, oh, wait, we forgot there was this immortal that was buried in a cave for millennia. And apparently the quickening and everything forgot about him. And he got loose. And now
Connor
is immortal again.
It's a whoopsie.
And he has a henchman that's immortal. Like, what? But that movie's way more fun, and I'm okay with it because of what part two did.
Fair enough.
But it's like they didn't want to make a sequel, and this movie is what you point to when you go, we don't need a sequel, because Highlander is a perfect movie. It's a great beginning, middle, end. It satisfies everything in storytelling.
It told the story it needed to tell.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So when it comes to making a part two, your only option is to do this or reboot part one.
Like, or prequel, I guess. I guess they could have gone, which is kind of what the television show decided to do.
It's kind of what the movie did, too, because it was like, well, the Renegade version went, we're going to say they're all from an ancient time here on Earth.
Right.
And their punishment is they will get time traveled to the 1500s.
Your punishment is you're going to live forever. You're going to fight each other. And hey, if you live, you get to die again, or you get to come back home. Win-win for everyone. And I was like, that's the worst rules I've ever heard. Not to mention the main dudes over at the priests or monks, whatever Ironside calls him. I can't watch that and not think of the people in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Yeah. Yep.
Every time is what I picture right there. They're just missing sunglasses and be excellent to each other.
And like Ironside as Katana, he's fun.
He
is going ham. And I know he did that on purpose because he went, look, the movie's a piece of shit. At least I'm going to do something awesome and have fun with it.
No one's going to tell me no.
Exactly. Yeah.
You are following the Kurgan. Okay. The Kurgan is quite possibly in the top 10 of villains in movies. I mean, that guy, Clancy Brown, killed it, literally. But dude, I want half of what Michael Ironside is in this movie on my everyday life. He is so happy in everything. There's not a moment that he's ever, like, he's mad, but he's not really mad. He is just having fun, and I love him in this movie. Like, this is the joy that gets you through this movie, is going, there's more Michael Ironside in a minute. Yes. Here we go. I like this guy. I want more. When he shoves, and I kind of think it's the Kurgan sword. For a split second, when he shoves the sword through the windshield of the cab, there is the piece of sword where it attached, like the Kurgan did in the first movie, because it was in three pieces, and he did the whole, like, assemble the sniper rifle scene in the movie. I looked at Ironside's sword and went, oh, please tell me they didn't just reuse the prop they already had and gave it to him. And I kind of think they did. I think he's using Kurgan's sword in this movie. Which is better than McLeod using the futuristic sword, and then all of a sudden, for no apparent reason, he has his old sword back in his hand.
That doesn't get fixed in either version either.
None of the versions. I don't think they filmed it to get fixed.
Like,
Sean Connery was right there with the sword, and he leaves the room, which we'll get to that in a minute. Why not go, here, you'll need this, and toss him the fucking sword that he has later in the
movie. Well, Sean Connery uses the Force to stop a wind blade.
It's a kind of magic, Nate.
It is a kind of magic.
It was stupid. It's a kind of magic. That was so dumb.
It's
a kind of magic.
I get it. Oh, hey, they not got happy
that,
with
they,
it.
They got that line in this movie like four times.
I wanna pile on this magic part. So Connery's supposed to be Spanish during this the force thing. They start playing bagpipes.
Because Connor's a Highlander.
But he's Spanish. And they're now, leaning my favorite into part he's being a Spaniard. Is, he doesn't have the right accent.
It was his favorite song.
It was his favorite song.
Pete keeps getting upset at these moments with Connery, but yet he doesn't seem to get upset that he's alive.
That's what we said in the group chat. I was like, Pete's so upset about this stuff. How about how he comes back to life?
Because it is so poorly. And even just the way that when he goes, he's like, you might see me again. Like, who did? Who knows how these rules work?
Who knows, shithead? I don't know.
Right.
It's probably going to cost you $6 million next time.
Pete was so hung up on how's he paying for stuff, and I kept going, gold, dude. He's got jewelry.
He had over an earring,
a pearl earring with gold hanging, whatever it was. That was worth a lot.
Okay? The first thing that guy's going to go is, I'm not a fence. Get this out of here and give me a credit card or cash.
He's old money, Pete. He knew that was real by looking at it. Sean Connery was the oldest man in Scotland, and he's like, I'll take your word for it, sir. Go ahead.
So if that's how you buy suits, I'm in. I want that kind of treatment to go buy a suit. They just fawned over him. They gave him
How is it any different than John Wick getting a suit by giving him a gold bar?
But that's
their currency,
right? So his currency was jewelry. I mean, it's what works. Yeah. I do love that they threw in a montage of getting a suit made in this movie.
Yeah, they did.
You had Sean Connery for six days. You spent a day doing that one, yeah, right there.
Okay,
that was $500,000 for that scene.
It's a good suit. Good looking suit.
I did enjoy the suit. He had the good boots on there and everything. Yeah. They wrap up the sword and hand it to him.
Oh, and yes, can we bring you to the airport? The what port? And
fly.
So there are so many characters in this movie that are just nonplussed about everything. The girl learns that the hunky old guy that she was kind of thinking about getting in bed with.
I don't think she was thinking about it when he was old.
Well, she was.
Yeah, when she saw that young hot stud that was Christopher Lambert.
But then all of a sudden, poof, I'm a young hot stud, and she's down to clown right in the disgusting alley. Blech.
Which is cut in the theatrical. Did you notice that?
No.
That doesn't happen in the theatrical cut.
It's gross.
They kiss, fade to black, come back to his apartment, and she's in the robe.
Which
I was like, wow, they cut all of that.
The director's cut is all right. No, no, no. This is where we need the hardcore alley sex scene. This is what we need.
That extra 19 minutes, we need a solid minute of smutty alley sex
Sweaty, dirty alley sex. Gross. But when she's in the bedroom, then he's explaining to her what he is. And she's just like, oh, okay, that's cool. Whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. But if you pay attention, she's explaining it like the fans were asking questions in the, as if we had seen the movie. So wait, they came back. You're now immortal, but you weren't immortal, and you were alive, but you won the power, and now you're not immortal. But he come back, and if you go back, are you immortal when you go back? And
yeah, something like that.
It's something like that.
Which totally blew my mind, because I'm like, all right, the movie was meta enough to realize we fucked up.
Yeah.
Before the problems happened, they were already like, we already realized. We're going to sprinkle this in. You know, not that she was questioning, like, so where you're from, is porcupine hairstyle in or something? Because our future henchmen dudes have porcupine hair.
Who don't even get killed by swords, damn it. All right.
Okay.
Are they Highlanders too? They're Highlanders, right?
Well, or okay. See, Highlanders aren't the... You can be anything and be immortal. Highlander is not synonymous with immortal.
Yeah, Highlander just happens to be you're Scottish.
What?
I love He's like, so Immortals Highlander, right? That's all I need to know.
They're all Highlanders.
So this is the Highlander. This is the Immortal Highlander, not necessarily.
If we stick with the theatrical cut, they're all Zeists. So they come back. That's kind of my thing, Nate. I'm okay with the first kill because it's old
it's
McCloud.
Cool. Yeah.
He gets run over by a train. Awesome.
It was pretty cool. That was a good
but then we get like a clothesline. Cheap shot, and then the body flying into the electrical panel. But he's on a Green Goblin hoverboard.
Yep, sure is.
Flat as just like the dead dude in Beetlejuice, where he's going around the whole office there.
Yeah.
The guy's run over and he's just hanging and smacks into it. But I don't care. My favorite line in the entire movie, get ready to say goodbye, McCloud. Where are you going? You know, just.
Jeez. I missed that one.
But that, as at 14 or 15, I loved that whole scene, man. Hoverboards and stuff. And watching the making of, it said 90% of that was all in camera. They had rigs where they were literally.
You can tell when he's flying around that like it's a rig.
There's a
set up to make him do like. It
reminded me of Barbarella, all the eagle dudes flying around Barbarella. It was the same kind
of... Well, that's Flash Gordon, too.
Flash Gordon, too. Yeah, you're
right. Flash Gordon. So, like, but I even like the part where, like, McCloud's on, like, the little foot hoverboard. They rigged it so where he's got weight on it, but if he lifts his legs, it moves with him. So when he's going over the cars, it's like he's riding over top of obstacles that's in front of me. I'm like, that's a lot of
I had no problem
thought.
With that.
One of my favorite scenes.
It's like, I don't have a problem with it. I just want to see it in a different movie altogether. Because like at the end of the day, it's still the story I have the most problem with. It's the fact that the dude that wrote the first one sat down and went, all right, I think I got this, and he didn't whatsoever.
Nate, you got to put it in context, though. Let me show you. I'm going to put $5 million next to you and go, write a sequel. I don't care. Write a sequel. And you're going to go, but wait, what about my original idea? $6
million.
you know, 6.5. Okay, fuck it. I'm going to write Aliens. Are we cool? Like, if I say Aliens, how are you responding? And you're like, are you writing yet? You're gonna do it,
right?
Okay.
It's just how much I love part one and how a complete 180 slap in the face this one is to it, where it's just like, the hell. And like, I went on a quest to find the writer on Instagram that way I could give him shit. Because I was like, you know what? You're not done. I couldn't find him. I was so ready to write him an angry message.
If you actually think you're the first person.
I know I'm not the first person. I just want him to be like, God damn it, it's 2024 and they're still yelling at me about Highlander 2. Why? Like,
doesn't matter.
I just
man.
Wanted to have that knife jab in there as like a nice little reminder that we're still angry about it. And the other thing, though, if this movie would have been like, good bad, it'd be different, but
yeah,
it's
this
not
Troll
good bad
either.
This
yeah,
is
this...
bad like
it's bad, but there's still enough in there that I'm like, I don't know, I still
there's
I
pieces
still
there where
this.
It could have been.
It's got Dr. Cox in this movie, man.
It does, which is great.
Cox is in there and he's as schmarmy as ever, boy.
Oh,
that
yeah,
smile, that charming shithead smile,
that whole boardroom scene how do we change up RoboCop's boardroom scene? And they do this one. They shoot the shit out of Michael. They almost just air high five at that moment. And then he wakes up. And that, which we'll get into that later, that whole scene is just gold for Michael Ironside right there.
No, it's awesome. The way he breaks the dude's like neck.
The sound effects and
the
everything.
The hand in the mouth and then like, stretching his jaw while breaking his
takes a piece of paper, wipes his hand, and throws it at a guy at the other end of the table. I just and you know that was just Michael Ironside going, I'm gonna throw it at you and see how you react. I don't care. I don't care. This movie's bad, but I kind of actually love it. Okay. I smile when I watch this movie. Last night I didn't make Jackie watch both versions. I was like, I'll watch the Renegade cut because it's longer, and then we'll watch the theatrical cut. She's like, thank you. Because she already kind of gets the gist of what we were getting into. And she could not have cared less. She was just not into this movie whatsoever. She said something. I don't even remember what it was. And I was like, wait, you've seen this movie? She goes, hell no.
Like, and I said this in the group chat, but it's like, Sean Connery retired because he's like, League of Extraordinary Gentlemen was just so bad. Yeah. And I'm like, you probably should have retired circa, I don't know, what, 1990, 1991, whenever the hell this came out, after Highlander 2? Because I'll tell you right now, I'll watch League every day of the week before I want to watch this again.
I enjoy League as well.
I enjoy League.
I think I saw it
in theaters opening weekend.
I did too. Well, I don't know about opening weekend, but I did see it in the theater.
I was excited for it.
That car was badass.
I do have some fun with it. I do have a lot of fun with
it. I have fun with it. And that's the thing. It's a bad movie, but it's fun.
And I feel even where it's so clearly like on display that they're using a Sean Connery stunt double by let's take out all the lights and have him and Christopher Lambert fight each other.
Yeah.
You know, like, or even that scene with Michael Ironside with Dr. Cox. It's so damn dark. Like, light does not exist in this movie because they stole the sun, because they stole... The Simpsons did this plot for their movie, damn it.
Yeah, but Highlander 2 did it first, so Simpsons stole it.
Actually, it wasn't for the Simpsons movie. It was when Mr. Burns put it up, and then Maggie shot him.
Oh, he did the sun blocker. Yeah, that's right. Who shot Mr. The whole Who Shot JR cross thing that they did. Speaking of the whole Dr. Cox thing, man, Pete, this probably isn't really peak dummy fall, but that's still a pretty good dummy fall.
It was a pretty good one. It's not top 10, but it's in there. It's
best dressed dummy fall. I think I'll go that far.
All right.
Because it's still wearing the suit pants and the nice shirt with suspenders falling like a freaking brick out of that window. Dude, I don't care. I don't care. I smiled this whole time.
I already forget, but like, there's an RV or truck scene where he's fighting Michael Ironside. Was that in the Renegade?
That's in the Renegade because that's the scene that the Bond company refused to let them film because there was no like middle. You usually have like a middle fight between your guys, between the Highlander and Michael Ironside. Well, this Bond company is like, we're not going to pay for it. You're not doing it. So that's what they had to go back four years later, get put back in makeup and film that scene. Even Christopher Lambert's like, look, I get it, but man, going back after 4 years, I didn't give a shit. Like, that's the thing. I don't care.
Like, that long of a wait, like, who's going to care? You can't polish a turd. Like, if anything, that's what the Renegade version proves, is like, you could take a shitty movie and only make it a lesser shitty movie.
Well, that's kind of polishing, right? I mean, it's not going to shine. It's not, you're not going to see your reflection in it.
It's better than where you started, though. I don't think it is.
I still think the Renegade
especially after the revelation that where I'm like, maybe I do like them as aliens more. Now I kind of want to punch myself in the dick saying that.
I want the Renegade cut, put the aliens back in. But as far as, like you said, the way the theatrical cut is, it's literally called the theatrical cut because it is so poorly cut to death. There is no pacing. There's scenes flipped that are in the wrong spot. Yeah.
If you didn't see the Renegade cut, the theatrical cut is 10 times like... more confusing.
Kind of the reason why everyone shits on this movie, to be fair, that's what we all saw first for the most part, was the shitty cut. I think had we got the second version, the Renegade, originally, we'd be like, yeah, it wasn't good.
Yeah, we probably would be like, that's a pretty bad movie. Yeah. And it'd be at that.
Although it is kind of nice to have, because we talk about this all the time. It's like, man, what would that movie have looked like had they left this scene or cut this scene? We get that in real time with Highlander 2.
But it's also like, that's the best you could give us. And like, both versions have the liquid gold goo.
Yeah, the quickening.
That's their Metachlorian or something.
Well, that's their time traveling device.
That's what that was.
The Renegade.
No, it wasn't. It's not the time traveling device. That was the quickening. That is the way him and Connery are bound together.
Yeah.
Because the two alien dudes can time travel just standing still. Michael Ironside had to get into a contraption to send him back. Connery just ends up there because of the monk dudes from Bill and Ted's send him there, you know, and they send him and McLeod to two different time. Like Connery's like, was it 500 years older than McLeod in the first one?
Something I think like that.
Sounds right.
It's three or five, one of the two, because he's been around a long time, and Connor was only just made into a, you know, damn it, people about made me say he was only made into a Highlander.
I had you.
Made immortal at the beginning of Highlander. So Connery's supposed to be like way older than him. But look, this movie, they had to retcon damn near everything to make this storyline work. You know, you can't go back and go, well, did they actually know each other when they met again? When's the point that they remembered who each other were? You know, because now Connor's having flashbacks of, I'm going to call it Zeist. They don't even name it.
It's the past, but it's also like, it's a Dune is all it is. Cause
very
it's desert.
Dune-esque and all that stuff. And they do still have the bit of a battle. I do believe the two differences is when Ironside goes to the two henchmen, he goes, you're going to go to Earth and find the Highlander.
Yeah.
And then in the other one, he goes, you're going to go into the future and find the Highlander. The two differences aside from cutting Zeist out of the name completely.
And sadly, like, I have no way of knowing how to fix this other than what works in Highlander 3 by going, the quickening had a whoopsie and forgot there was a couple others. Like, that's literally the only way.
The mountain was made out of lead or something. We don't know.
You know, obviously it's a quickening kryptonite. Doesn't really.
The quickening doesn't work through sandstone? Who knew?
We didn't know that when we started the quickening.
I had no idea. Someone go ask the monks. The monks are non-existent in the third one. The punks will know. All right, boys. Well, let's hit a commercial real quick. Let's regather our thoughts as we go through our double feature of Highlander 2, and we will be right back.
The Transformers will return after these messages.
Hi, friends. The world got you down. Don't be sad. Listen to $2 Late Fee with Zach and Dustin.
$2 Late Fee is the podcast that celebrates the best decade of entertainment, the 1980s. We pick a movie and soundtrack from our youth that we loved and see if it holds up today. We also interview your favorite celebrities from that era.
All in the spirit of positivity and togetherness. Check us out at $2LateFee.com.
In a world filled with bad movies, two men risk it all to bring you a podcast that covers the very worst of cinema.
I did not hit her. It's not true. It's bullshit. I did not hit her. I did not. Oh, hi, Mark.
Join these unlikely heroes as they deep dive into Z-movie classics.
I am Torgo. I take care of the place while the master is away.
Cheesy action films.
I will send you to hell.
I've been there for 10 years!
Badly dubbed Italian horror.
Mother, this closet smells of death.
Right through to modern cinematic catastrophes.
Oh, no, not the beast! Not the beast!
Dominic Lawton.
Oh my God!
Ken B. Wilde.
We have such sights to show you.
Are the Bad Movie Cult. Available every 2 weeks wherever you get your podcasts.
We now return to the Transformers.
So during the break, I think Nate and I figured this out.
Yeah, we figured out how to explain it to Pete. Then I also have a revelation for Pete as well.
Okay.
So Pete, imagine you walked into Goodwill.
Oh yeah.
And there's a giant bag of a jigsaw puzzle. But you don't know that it's actually 7 jigsaw puzzles put together in one bag. And then you get a picture of the puzzle that came out last year. And now you have to build those 7, but there's pieces missing.
Yeah. So you have 7 puzzles, missing pieces, and maybe the wrong picture.
I don't like this at all.
That's Highlander 2.
Okay.
Now, and we're going to give you $6 million to put them together. And you're going to try your damnedest to make it work.
Then I will make
you're actually going to be in there with an X-Acto knife and scissors and one Sharpie. And you're going to make it work.
Okay. Some duct tape. Yeah. Some electrical tape so it looks the same. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Now, I do take some fault for picking this movie. Kind of.
I was hoping we were going to get to this.
Because it was in January. I told Charlie, like, hey, Highlander 2 takes place in 2024. It would be funny if we happened to cover it.
Yep.
A, that was a bad idea. I really hate that I planted that seed there.
You did.
The other part, though, was, Pete, we were originally not going to cover both movies. Charlie and I were going to watch the Renegade version and make you watch the theatrical cut. But not tell you.
You dicks. I would have been more. Oh my God. I would have been.
You would have been so pissed.
Well, it would have been a good bit.
I would have been so confused. Like, what the? What are you talking about?
Yeah. Cause we were like, what are you talking about, Pete? They were aliens. They were time travelers. And then to watch your mind just completely melt as you're like, the hell are they going on about?
I would have just closed up and just. Shut up. And I would have said, like, I don't know what's
but then I go and I pull the ultimate dick move because when Nate goes, hey, it's 2024, we should cover Highlander 2. I said, oh, I actually have Highlander 2 written down as one of my picks for April because we had come up, you know, Nate come up with the idea for the Wheel of Pain.
Yeah.
Where we could everyone just picks a movie, no theme, no nothing. And I was like, well, now's the time. I was like, I could do Highlander 2. As a pick. And then Nate's like, I was like, oh, now that you kind of know I was going to do that, it takes the fun out of it. And I told him I took it off my list. Unbeknownst to anyone that I went, oh, you know what I really could do?
Uh-huh.
I could do a double feature and we all have to watch.
That's a lot of betrayal going on. Now,
a lot of backstabbing. And poor Pete still sitting over there going, yeah. The hell did I do?
Why am I here?
And everywhere now, it hadn't even happened yet.
I know. So Feast Trilogy took up roughly 4.5 hours.
You're not allowed to pick multiple features anymore, Nate.
Oh, no, I don't want to. And then this took up roughly 3.5 hours, so an hour less than 3 Feast movies. Yeah. But yeah, I'm somewhat more, maybe I'm a little bit more pissed off with this, because unlike Feast, I hate 2 and 3, but I don't like Part 1 either. But with Highlander, I adore Part 1.
Yeah.
So then I'm more pissed off for, you know, this time spent with Part 2.
Yeah, but I didn't say watch 1 and 2 and then 2 again. We were only watching 2.
Did you watch
and
one
it was
no, I should have, honestly.
I thought you did. Oh, you did,
I told you guys I did. I dug out every I have like 3 versions of the first one. I have all the versions of
the
second one. The
flashback scenes and stuff make me go, that's a reminder. There's a better movie I could be watching right now.
That opens at a wrestling match. See, we could have done that because it's WrestleMania week as we're
I know.
But that's we've true. Already done part one.
We've already done part one. It was covered.
It's been covered.
Now we got 3 and 4 in The Source.
And The Source,
which
and
I've never
TV
seen.
Show, which I absolutely adore.
We're
the
not
TV
doing
show.
A TV show.
It
I'm
was my thing. You're putting your foot down, Pete.
If we're doing He's a TV like, show, if we're doing a TV show, we're going to do Ash versus Evil Dead.
Or no, we're going to do the Highlander cartoon.
We are not doing
Yeah, we found out there's a
cartoon.
There's a Highlander cartoon.
There's a Highlander cartoon. That was news to me.
It takes place in the future.
Yeah.
Well, who knows what that means for the Highlander?
It means nothing as far
it
as
means
this
nothing
timeline.
Because Ramirez is in the cartoon as well.
Yeah, of course he is. How many episodes were there in this cartoon?
And when did it air? Up last time. It wasn't much. 94.
Yeah,
it was two seasons. Okay. It was 40 episodes.
Okay, now that's two seasons. Sure.
When I found this out, Charlie and I were both like, I don't remember this whatsoever.
No memory of it. Didn't we find out, though, it was mainly in Canada?
I think so.
Where it was aired. Huh. Yeah. But you can get the DVD now.
And they're on Amazon Prime right now.
I think we can stream them. I do want to watch them.
Were there any toys? I don't think there were any toys of Highlander.
No.
I still don't think there's any toys of Highlander, actually.
Maybe the cartoon got a toy or two, which I think is how we found it, wasn't it, Nate? Really? We saw something.
It might have been.
Again, maybe. It wouldn't have been anything. It was probably a U.S. release.
The problem is, dumbass Toyota decides to release a vehicle called a Highlander. So every time that I try to look up Highlander stuff, I keep coming up across a Toyota, what I want.
You have to put Highlander movie toys. You have to put Highlander movie trailer, because if you put Highlander Toyota, this is the greatest Google marketing ploy.
Really is. And then now for Christmas, not last year, but 2 years ago, I got Charlie Highlander 2 on VHS in pristine mint condition. But it came with one of the flyers that they had back in the day for the Highlander store. So, like, you'd open up this giant poster-sized flyer, and it's got, like, the swords and all this, like, other
props. It came with the VHS?
Props.
Is this a clamshell, or he's got it right here?
No, I got it. It's a normal cardboard box. It's a gorgeous box. The corners are just barely bent. But it's the Highlander 10th anniversary. It's got the TV show on the front of it.
Oh, look at that.
And it folds out.
Oh, this was the year I drove back from Colorado, so I don't remember any of this.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. Highlander had its own, like...
It had a magazine.
Store.
I used to get
this.
Yeah. You could get all three Highlander movies, director's cuts. All three of them were $55.
Can you imagine the dumbass that spent $55 for Highlander 2?
Well, at least that's for both. That's for all three. Highlander soundtrack, $12. The Final Dimension director's cut, uncut, and R-rated was $19.99.
R-rated.
That's $125 nowadays for that movie.
Yeah. I could have got an Adrian Paul signed poster for $20.
Oh, it would have been cooler if it was a sword. That way you could be like stepbrothers and be like, this was signed by Adrian Paul. I came across him on the street.
Highlander, series was only up to season 3, and you could have got it, and all the spines made a picture of
which was the cool thing. Yeah.
That was the thing. Yep. The Ultraman DVD releases from Mill Creek are doing that right now.
Nice.
So we could have gotten Connor McLeod's sword, which is his Braveheart sword, for $275. You can get Duncan's katana for $250. So you could have got reproduction.
So Michael Ironsides didn't use a katana because
they were the futuristic. But
he was called Katana.
Swords.
Okay,
I mean, you're not going to use the sword that your name is based off of. That'd be weird.
Yeah. You can get the official Highlander coat for $225, which is
a cool coat. I guarantee we could go to like any thrift store and find a beige trench coat, a big black
trench coat. Well, this is the one that Adrian bought.
Oh, okay.
A Matrix thing.
Yeah. Actually, the t-shirts are kind of cool, $20-some. So yeah, I used to get this
right into this company, Charlie, see what happens.
Is there a 900 number you can call? You're an adult. You don't have to ask your parents for permission. Just call it.
But fun fact,
Jackie.
For those that I have to ask, Jackie, before I do that.
What the hell is this?
$90 a minute.
What?
I got to talk to Connor McLeod.
He told me a joke.
For those that haven't listened to our Highlander episode,
I'm fairly certain he was eating Laffy Taffy and just read the package, but it's okay.
My mom actually got me the Queen It's a Kind of Magic soundtrack from the Highlander store. That's where she had ordered it from. So I have the Highlander 2 Renegade version VHS letterboxed at the correct 2.35:1 aspect ratio, digitally remastered and re-edited with over 19 additional minutes of footage. Yeah.
That 19 minutes was the 90 minutes to 109 minutes or whatever.
Yeah, that's because okay. This is the actual, this is like the Renegade.
There was nothing worse than getting like special edition VHS where all the stuff was plopped into the back of the video. And if you wanted to see the making of, you had to fast forward through the damn movie.
Yeah, any special features was after the credits.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
even after the warning at the end of the credits,
yeah.
That's when it would start.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
I got a copy of Escape from New York that I picked up that has a John Carpenter interview on it. And I was just like, God, I don't want to have to fast forward just to get to this.
Let's look it up on
these
YouTube.
Day and ages, the VHS might eat it. You know, the VCR might eat the tape.
That actually answers something we talked about during our kid month was the Three Musketeers on the VHS. After the movie was over, before credits, they played the video of Sting and all them together and then the credits.
Yeah.
So, because most people would not have sat through the credits.
Sure.
That we learned Nate still probably hasn't done with Dracula Dead and Loving.
No, so I haven't got back because now I got put in the DVD again. It's already put away.
But that was actually, Nate, I'm glad you had brought that up because I had actually forgotten to bring that out for this episode. But yeah, damn, the box is gorgeous. It's a silver. It doesn't have that gold.
That's
gold-ish.
The problem. It's got a great cover. I hate it.
It really does.
It's got a great cover. I hate it. It's I hate it so
stupid.
Much.
Stupid.
It looks like something I want to watch. And then
yeah,
I watch it,
exactly.
And then I regret everything I've done.
And then I watch it. And then I'm like, why did I watch this? Where's part three?
Can't get that time.
I don't even care for like the fights in this movie like I do of part one. Like, I don't know.
No, just the fights aren't great. The final fight sucks.
Oh, it's terrible.
These guys don't have any sword training.
Well, they're also using real swords because Christopher Lambert is an idiot.
Because he's an idiot, yeah. And so these swords are heavy, and they're clang, clanging, clanging around, and it is boring AF.
Both him and Michael Ironside got hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, when you're cut yourself to the bone.
Yeah, who lost part of their finger or something? Was it?
I think it was Ironside.
I think Ironside lost part of his finger. Connor and got then, cut down to the bone. And then
on a
they
finger.
Switched, then they switched to plastic swords.
Plastic swords.
After right. that.
Which is the equivalent of movie director being mom going, all right, you're not allowed to play with the real toys anymore.
Pretty much. That's basically what it is. They all
you're both
going to
get
hand.
Hurt like this. And neither one of you get it.
Extent.
I don't think OSHA cared about Argentina. They're like, there's a war going on.
That's what I meant. I just didn't articulate myself.
They didn't care at all. They were just happy people were there and spending money. That's all they were cared about. You know, it was the one thing that we all know was involved, but it's not in any of the documentaries. But, man, there had to be a copious amount of cocaine going around that set.
Oh,
I don't care.
No way.
1992?
93? 91 or 90 when it was made.
Oh,
this came out in 91.
Yeah.
And again, I'm sorry, Pete, we keep doing this to you. The Renegade version came out in 94 after they fixed it all. The original was 91. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, there's just so much insanity. But yeah, the Michael Ironside death, it's lame. It's even the quickening. And then the one fucking thing you got to say in this movie, he whispers.
Think the only one. That's because he whispers throughout the whole movie when he's not an old man.
Yeah, but at least in the first one, he's like, there can be only one with the echoey
reverb.
Yeah,
and then he does the big quickity, which is like his vinegar strokes, and he's going all over the place. But in this, he's just like,
You go Power of Grayskull with your there can be only one.
Now, I will say, I will tell you guys the one thing we got saved from not watching the European cut. And Nate, I don't know if you did that much research to find out Lambert, that there is a different ending to this movie.
I didn't know there's a different ending.
There is a different ending that after he kills Katana and they do the whole thing, he looks over at Virginia Madison, who's playing the girl, smiles at her, and then gets teleported back to Zeiss in a big light.
Instead of zapped up to the satellite and explode the satellite.
He got sent back. He decides to not stay on Earth with her and F's off back to Zeiss in a big tube of light. And the audience hated it so bad, which is why there's so many versions. the Europeans recut the movie again and just ended it the way it ends that we all see it
he
now.
He literally pulled a Poochie and went, I have to go now. My planet needs me.
Simpson stole it from Highlander 2. And that is the one thing that the television cut for America added and left in is him going back to his planet.
And then there's the
end.
Note taped to the screen that says, Highlander died on the way back to his home planet.
Highlander died on the way back. Crashed into the sun.
Yeah.
So if nothing else, if this movie makes you completely mad, at least we had some mercy shown to us. And they didn't put that back in the movie. But they filmed it. Okay? You have to understand. They filmed it.
That is amazing. The talent on this movie, Virginia Madison is great, you know? Michael Ironside's great.
No like, one phones no it one... in, except no one gave a shit. So that's what made it so much fun.
The checks cleared. They yeah, were like, we're getting paid we're to getting have paid.
We
fun.
Get to go on vacation to a Civil War? Cool.
Yeah, this is fun.
Dude, like, and again, going back to the shots, the whole dam scene that they shot on, they literally had like a helicopter going across it. They were supposed to slide down the dam instead of zip line it. They were like, well, they can start at the top because it's that concrete that goes all the way down. Mm-hmm. The stunt guys, yeah, we can do that. Someone came to them and went, oh, about 10 feet into the water are giant metal spikes to break up any rocks that fall down as it goes. You might want to rethink that. And they went,
thank God.
We oh were, God. A, we were, a, they were talking to the head stunt guy. He goes, we were about to do it and we didn't know it was down there. And so that's why they rigged the zip line.
You gotta fault the stunt people for that. They should have went and checked to see how deep.
I don't know if like, maybe they were going to be like, let's do a test run. Like say even maybe a rope. But you have to think about the water could have thrown them and they'd not known it was in there and they're still trying to, you know, explore.
Oh, they would have been shredded. Yeah.
They would have been shredded. And then they found out that Argentina, they were like, man, it'd be awesome if we could actually turn off the water so we could rig it. And Argentina went, yeah, we can do that. They're like, you will shut your, like most places would tell you, fuck you. We're not doing that.
Fuck off.
No, Argentina was like, yeah, we'll turn the dam off. And they would turn the dam off for them to rig everything, turn it back on if they need it, turn it down off, turn it back on as many times as they wanted during the filming.
What sense of godlike power do you have to turn the water off?
Well, it's like a light switch. It's on, it's off. It's on, it's off. It's on, it's off.
It's quite that easy, Nate.
The way they said it, it seemed like that. I think the director even made a joke. Like, I think there's still some farmers that didn't get water for 4 years after we filmed that movie.
If you don't turn off the water, you go directly to jail.
He's like, straight to jail.
Yeah. Have the power.
Get upset that you don't have water, you go straight to jail.
I highly recommend it if you've at least seen this movie or you're curious and you watch it. Watch the Renegade version, but then go watch the making of. Go watch the behind the scenes because it's like this like holy shit moment when you actually like they're very candid about it. You know, they are like, look, we understand. The movie's technically a piece
of
shit.
It's a miracle it was made.
And they all started out with, yeah, we know there never should have been a sequel. We're well aware of that. But when they drop piles of money in front of you, you kind of go, okay, we'll try.
The same thing happened in Gremlins 2. And we got Gremlins 2. It was great.
Right. But Joe Dante had enough sense to go, fuck them. I'm just going to go nuts. I think had they done something satirical with Highlander to poke fun at the logic, would have
that
been...
probably could have been a better watch.
Because there is a lot of that all that Gremlins as they're poking fun of themselves. So what if they had something stuck in their teeth
and you know,
across
what?
Midnight? Like, so how, what needs to cut your head off? What, how many little bitty chunks can you get? Because didn't McCloud put himself back together after he fell or something?
Yeah, he fell and he brought all his bones back together. So they were somewhat meta, like we were talking about earlier, that they're poking holes in their own theory. And if you pay real close attention, they kind of do like a RoboCop-esque look on things. If you watch the televisions, there's a freaking TV show about the psychic cook who cooks with dead people, and they filmed that.
Now wait. You need to. They cook with dead people. Now, did they cook with a person who has passed away, or did they cook with the corpse of the person that passed
away?
That's
where it's confusing, because we're led to believe that the psychic is there and he talks to the ghost, but there is a scene with a dead hand stirring tomato sauce, pulling its fingers out of the tomato sauce. So I don't know. And then there's news reports that happen. It all felt very Verhoeven-esque. And it's like, I kind of want Verhoeven to have done the sequel.
God, that would have been amazing.
We'd be talking about this movie as it's the best thing ever if it had been Verhoeven directed.
Yeah, the satirical approach probably would have been the better one.
I would have been down for that. Yeah. Honestly, I think we've answered our question. How would you have fixed this movie if you could have gone fully back? I would have been a satirical look at
on the Highlander verse, where it's like, this just doesn't make sense. Because there's only, what, 5 immortals in this whole movie?
Right.
And I mean, part 3, there's only 3. So yeah, there's maybe only 4.
No, I think there's only 3, because I don't. Yeah, Ramirez
is a very low body count, very very low.
I actually think the third one came out PG-13 originally, and I think there's
the R-rated cut has the hardcore sex scene that shows Bush.
Yeah, that does happen in this.
Yeah,
which one is that?
That's part 3. Because you got to have a hardcore gratuitous sex scene in all Highlander movies.
Unless it's the theatrical cut.
It wasn't even hardcore in 2. That was just nasty.
It was just dirty.
Nasty.
There's not dirty scenes, and but there's dirty.
Filthy sex scenes.
Yeah. Dirty.
There's a sewer rat watching me.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Did you see the Godzilla movie in this?
I did see the Godzilla movie.
Oh, I did it. I missed that.
Briefly, it was on the subway. He had a prosthetic eye, and the eye was...
He had apple glasses.
Oh.
Watching a movie while looking at Katana.
Right. It doesn't help that they both start with a hard C sound. A hard K.
I think that's by design, honestly. Like, Kurgan, where do we go? Kurgan. What sword did he use? Well, the one guy used a katana. That's it. We're going with that. That's the bad guy's name.
But he's
name.
Not going to use a katana. Don't worry.
No, he doesn't use a katana. He uses a claymore. Sci-fi looking from the past. Sci-fi. Guys, let's get into the body count.
Yeah.
Already?
It's probably for the best. Probably for the best.
Just bodies.
Body count.
We got time.
Body count.
We're approaching theatrical cut runtime all of a sudden.
Okay, that makes sense.
Later, we can do the Renegade.
Yeah, we'll do the Renegade version of this episode. Which means, Charlie, when you edit this one, put the ending at the middle.
No, what we're recording right now is the Renegade version. What Charlie's got to do is go and cut this version up horribly and then release it first.
Yeah, release a really bad version first.
Just 4 years later. You need to release this.
And then when I fix it, I add a sex scene. Yeah. Got it. I'm on it, guys. Totally down.
Ooh. You get it.
I'm on.
Can I be in the sex scene?
Maybe. It's all audio, so who knows? Who knows who I actually put in it?
Pete!
Put the underwear on your head. Anyway, the kill count... And you know what? I don't even know what version this is based off of, to be 100% honest. It's probably the Renegade, which I'll get into with our kills. 65 is the body count.
Higher
than I thought.
So I purposely jumped us into this because there is something I wanted to talk about, but we needed to be in this section to talk about.
Have you ever killed anyone?
Yeah, but they were all bad.
Oh, God. Okay.
Because... the body count gets extremely high because in the Renegade cut, we get the longest death scene, I think, in cinema history. And that is when Katana, Michael Ironside, takes over the subway train and kills everyone on. Now, it's in the theatrical cut, but it's cut up badly. There is quite possibly the funniest scene in this movie, in the Renegade cut, where this train apparently is capable of doing like 800 miles an hour. People are flying to the rear of the train car, and there is a scene of a dude who looks like, again, in Beetlejuice, the shrunken head looking guy, yeah, but his face is stretched out. His eyes are wide open as if super speed is hitting his face. And I busted out laughing, going,
it's a little Total Recall on Mars.
Very Total Recall on Mars. Good call.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's like screaming. A dude smacks his head on the wall and blood spurts everywhere. But Michael Ironside's totally fine, and he's in the front of the train. His hair's not blowing. He doesn't move. Everyone else is as if you were Godzilla's dangling the train car, and everything's falling with gravity. There's 50 kills in this one scene alone.
This scene annoyed the hell out of me, but it also entertained the fuck.
Oh, it was so entertaining. God,
this is so boring. It's also kind
of so entertaining. And I was like, you know what? It's not my kill of the week, but I wanted to talk about it here because it adds kills. So I was like, this works. So we ran Nate or Pete over the coals last time. So Nate, let's let you go first. What's your kill of the week for Highlander 2?
The only scene that I actually enjoy and laugh at. And it's when Connor and Ramirez are in the car and they get shot up a bunch the S.H.I.E.L.D. S.H.I.E.L.D. police. And
agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. from Avengers. <That's good. laughs> When all of a sudden Nick Fury shows up
and you know, he just starts blasting them and all the blood squids and then the way they wreck the vehicle and come back to life. Like that is actually is satirical. It went
right through me.
Like, if it would have been more of that, I would have enjoyed this. But that's the only wink and nod in this whole movie.
They were
like,
shot
fun.
Over 100 times, 108 actually, 112. What you're counting that little thing right there?
Yeah, stuff like that, gold.
And again, full props to everyone involved. That is Sean Connery and Christopher Lambert wearing those squibs getting exploded from the inside out. Uh-huh. Like there's never a moment where it looks like it's a dummy or a stunt person. Oh, no. They kept their faces in it and it's tons of bullets. The car shot. It's Bonnie and Clyde.
Yeah,
it is a really cool scene and I like it. And it's funny, Nate, you get a pass because technically they come back to life, but they do get shot up and it is gory. But Pete, what about you, bud? What's your favorite
joke,
kill?
Nate is what could have been if they were Gremlins 2 instead of Highlander 2, that kind of a joke would just build.
You
would
have had
funny.
Bunch of immortals where it's like, where are these guys even coming from at this point?
So how long am I going to be immortal? I don't get it.
Yeah.
All right, my kill of the week. So I thought it was going to be, because the first one I saw was really, I loved the guy getting his head chopped off by the
train.
Was it a cart or a train?
Yeah, it was a train running through downtown.
It was real squishy.
Slow.
Oh, yeah, It was real good.
It pushed the neck down.
Yeah, it did.
It was, you just saw it slowly roll over the neck. I watched it again today in just to remind myself in 1.5 speed. And I'm changing my answer because the guy, when Lambert is fighting those hoverboard bird people.
Yeah, he's Vulture 1 and Vulture 2.
Porcupines, damn it.
Flying porcupines. There's a bum on the street says, "Hey, man, you got a light?" And this flying porcupine turns to him and blows his ass up.
Yeah.
It's a real stupid joke, but it made me laugh because I wasn't prepared for it. And I missed it the first time. So that's my kill of the week.
And time they shot something, it exploded. But then he finally hit McCloud in the shoulder. Yeah. And it was like a gunshot hit him.
Just nothing.
Like no little, even a little explosion would have been cool, but nothing. I guess that leaves me. Got a light, dude. It will always be Michael Ironside ripping that dude's jaw open in the conference room.
That's a good one.
It's the sound. It's the look on Ironside's face. He's looking this dude in the face, peels it open, and then turns and looks at Dr. Cox, and then just snaps the dude's neck while his hands are still in his mouth.
I'm pretty sure he's smiling the whole time.
Oh, he has this maniacal grin constantly. He got shot and he was smiling. You know, because he's like, this is a corporation. Where do I sign? Let's partner up. He grabs hold after he's done and he wipes his hands with the paper and throws it at the dude, which makes me laugh. He reaches over and slides Dr. Cox back over to him. And he's like, partners?
Partner.
I love it. It's the one time where you're like, this dude is like evil. He doesn't give a shit. And he deserved a better death at the end of the movie.
Agreed.
Period. Yeah. Also, fun fact, it's not a person kill, but if you watch the theatrical cut, he is holding the eel when he's in the prison talking to Lambert, and it just goes in the Renegade version. They went, it's missing something. And they squeezes the eel and it goes, and he squeezes and squishes. I was like, someone really thought about that. They went, this is missing something. The eel has to be in pain. And let's add
the eel got a squeal.
The eel got a squeal, Pete. That is how that works. And now we are rating this bad boy. I should have got sword sounds. Damn it. Renegade version. I'll fix it later.
Chink, chink, chink. Yeah.
Pete, I'm going to start with you, bud, because Nate has way too much venom right now.
Okay, we got we got two movies we're talking about here. The theatrical cut is...
Yeah, how do we want to do this?
Yeah,
I'm rating both movies because I got two very different ratings.
Okay, fair. Movies. Okay, we there's two ratings.
Theatrical cut, avoided all risk. Do not watch this movie. It is a 3... maybe a 2.5. Don't bother. Don't bother with a theatrical cut. It's not worth your time. Now,
it's
the
Highlander 2, and he missed the opportunity to give it a 2?
I know.
That seems odd.
I suck at this, don't I?
God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, Pete.
All right, so Renegade cut. So I'm gonna the movie as it stands, like the miniatures, the special effects, the matte paintings, the acting, all a recommend. Story is a hard no. And that hurts. That hurts a lot.
That's a big chunk.
So this is still not a recommend. I'm going to go 4.5. It's like enter at your own risk. You know what you're getting into. If it was a 5, it'd be like, hey, you're an adult. Go for it if you want to. This is a cautionary tale for viewers. I can't recommend it. I wish it was funnier. God, it could have been so funny. I want that Highlander now.
It could have been fun and funnier at the same time. Let me say something right now. Nothing either of you can say is going to hurt my feelings about this. Like anyone that walks into this movie, even if you defend this movie, you have to be like, you're not wrong. whatever you say, you're not wrong at all. But I think those are totally fair. Now, let me ask you this. Let me throw a little curveball at you.
Sure. Give me it.
Had you not known about the theatrical cut, and you only watched the Renegade cut, did the theatrical cut bump the Renegade cut at all, knowing that it's like, wow, they did fix a lot?
I thought you were going a different direction. Like if you see this and this one only, would it have been better?
That's what I'm kind of saying is, had you had only ever seen the Renegade cut without the knowledge of, because we all know what the first one is. It's cut bad. It's terrible.
It is.
You don't need the Renegade.
That's a very good point, because Pete is the only one in a unique perspective of.
That's why I was throwing him that curve.
It's a significant step up, but it's still a little unforgivable because of how good that first one was, and it almost feels like you've betrayed your fan base.
So your score basically already reflects the fact that had it only been the Renegade cut, it's not a great movie. I won't recommend it, but it's at least
I still don't recommend it, but it's significantly better than the theatrical cut.
That's fair assessment. Totally fair. I was just curious because, Nate, you're 100% right. He had a unique perspective to both of us.
Yeah, because I've seen the Renegade cut a couple times.
Guys, I swear to God.
I've seen both versions multiple times.
Yeah, because...
He's like, I've seen it. No, I have not. What was the one you did this to before, Nate, where you're like, I've seen this movie, and you came in going, I have not seen this movie.
Carnosaur. It was Carnosaur.
It was Carnosaur.
That's right.
For me, it's I've seen the Renegade cut like every 6 years, so I go, well, maybe it's better this time. And every time it's not.
He's got so much hope in his eyes. A little glint of hope. Like maybe this time.
I'm a little older now. I'm a little wiser now. Nah, I'm more bitter.
All right, bitter Nate. Let's hear your numbers.
Let's hear it, Nate.
God, even ranking them separately, like, I think they're both just flat out bad. So, like, they're not fun watches. That's the biggest problem. Like, they're boring as can be. I mean, on YouTube, you could watch the theatrical cut at, what, 2x speed?
2x.
So
it takes 45 minutes. I would just recommend watching it that way with subtitles on. Just read real fast.
They're not quite chipmunks, but they're almost.
They might as well be.
Like, when Lambert is playing, you know, they're playing the old Lambert. Speed is really funny.
Like, the theatrical cut's really bad. Like, there's no other way to put it. Like, it should be shown to show what happens when you, like, don't know what the hell you're doing. It's frustrating that this is the same director as part one and the same writer as part one. Man, so you'd think they might have a little bit of, like, a cohesive vision with one another.
Writer, director, and actors.
Yeah.
Like, you got everything you should have had for a successful sequel.
Agreed. Yes.
And then the Renegade cut, it's just too damn long. Like, I don't want to spend an hour and 50 minutes in this world. I just don't. It's ugly for the sake of, like, just being ugly. I don't... Yes, like, the sets are cool, and yes, like, the, you know, having people on hard wires is impressive, but I'm just like, I don't care. Like, I flat out don't care. So if I was to give the theatrical cut a 1, and if I give the Renegade cut a 1, Highlander 2 gets a 2. Like,
that's some unique math work there.
Yeah. It gets Highlander 2.
And it just, more insulting because how much I love part one. Like, we have done a lot of sequels that are good. Like, where everyone's like, oh, sequels are bad. It's like, I would beg to differ that.
Go watch Terminator 2. Go watch Terminator 2. It's all you ever have to say. Go watch Terminator 2. In my defense, go watch RoboCop 2. It may not be better than the first one, but it's up there.
But that's a lot of what I think Lethal Weapon 2 is better than part one.
Lethal Weapon 2, to me, is like, I'm picking.
It's got to be your mood.
Yeah, which
kind of thing.
I'm also going, I would need like two scales and go, I like this and I like this, and out of each movie and see which one weighed more. That's
right
how
now,
close.
My mood is, I can't wait just to cover part three to get this taste out of my mouth that is this movie sometime next year, I guess. Like,
just go watch the first one. Just get down here.
How Spoils of Horror is constantly doing Omen movies. That's us with Highlander movies, I guess, now.
That's going to be our new thing.
Yeah.
They're doing Omen movies or witchcraft movies?
Well, they got both.
They're kind of doing both right now, actually.
Yeah.
Both.
They haven't done either in a while.
Witchcraft 3 and Omen 3 just came out or already, I don't know.
What? Though they're not out yet. They will
future
be coming out,
Pete. By the time this episode drops,
yeah.
Witchcraft 3 and Omen 3.
I think they're the May schedule, if I'm not correct. Because he'll do a mid-month.
Oh, maybe it was May.
You got
sneak.
Some behind the scenes that.
I just read his Instagram stories. That's all.
He always puts it in his story. He was elected to lead, not to read.
Charlie, you're up.
That's my turn. Okay. I'm the only one that's going to save the ratio here just a little bit for it. Theatrical cut, it's a 5. It's a 5. It's what I grew up with. It's the movie I knew. I was a young kid. I love the sci-fi added to the Highlander. I was a Highlander freak. I had the magazines. I watched the TV show. I didn't care. It was Highlander on a TV. Watching now the Renegade cut, even now, I'm like, only thing I wish they'd have done, left them aliens, and I would have loved it even more. But I'm going to give the Renegade cut. Do I make Nate mad? Or do I?
I don't. Trust me, you're not gonna make me mad. You're the one that's exposing your stupidity for liking Highlander 2.
Oh, that's some harsh. That's a little more harsh than I am to you two.
That's ouch.
Wow.
What? I'm not the one that's going, I eat paint, you know, to the public by admitting I like Highlander 2.
Now I eat paint. Fine, if he's going to call me names, he's going to make it worth it. I'm going to give it a 7. I'm going to give it a 7. I was about to give it a 6 till Nate made those comments, and I'm like, fuck it, getting a 7. I'm bringing those numbers up, baby. Barely. Getting on IMDb. We're going to bump them numbers up. Them are rookie numbers. Honestly, I could be like anywhere from 6 to 7, depending on my mood with this. I've actually enjoyed just talking about it. I got everything I wanted by putting it on the wheel and getting a double feature and making you both watch both
I'm glad
versions.
It showed up this month. I've been saying this each episode, but only this month would this have been allowed.
Yeah. When would I have? This was the only time no one could veto me out of this. Would have been this like, no, I'm not doing it. I'm not
so
going through it.
That's what the Wheel of Pain is all about.
See, I went for the pure essence of the Wheel of Pain.
I picked makeup movies.
Yeah, well, you kind of had to because all of February is pain. But
how many more months till February again?
A lot, if we make it. So,
all right. If we make it.
Nate, I bet you couldn't find one bad review of this movie.
Not one.
Because there's
101.
There's about a million.
Thousands
of trash man. I come out, I throw trash all over the ring, and then I start eating garbage. And then I pick up the trash can and I smash the guy on the head.
Oh, that's going to be a disaster.
All right. This comes from some guy in the year 2000 who gave this a 10 out of 10 and said, wasn't that bad?
What?
This wasn't that bad of a movie.
10 out of 10.
A lot of people say otherwise, but at least it had most of the original people in it. And Sean Connery did die in the first one, but Connery uses magic to call him back. Mm-hmm. Granted, we all could have done without the I'm from another planet thing and future stuff, but if you expect it to be as good as the first one, it's not anywhere near that good. But watch the movie for yourself, and if you decide it's the worst movie ever, I've seen many things that people call movies that were far, far worse than this. That dude's just got a positive outlook on life, and I'm kind of jealous of him.
I like him. I like him.
I am so, because we've had so many good movies, I forgot our rule was if we have a bad movie, we read a good review about it. And yeah. I was not expecting that.
That was a review of just a guy who was like, I don't know, I could have spent my time with worse things. Like,
I like that guy.
I could hang out with that.
Yeah, that guy.
Does he have Letterboxd? Because I will follow him right now.
Yep.
Yeah, totally. That just put a
he
big
also
smile
gives
on
it
my
10
face.
Out of 10 to
mine too.
Of the
I was like, I just like this one.
I also just like that Nate had to read something good about Highlander.
Usually Nate makes us mad for what he picks.
Right? We're usually, I've been so happy this episode. I don't know what it is. It's so much fun.
Turns out it was Max that wrote that review. He's just the nicest guy on the planet.
Max is a nice guy. I like Max. Dude I've Max, ever seen. You're, come on the show.
You'd be great. Max is awesome. All right. Well, that is, we have one more Month of Chaos pick because there's 5 Tuesdays in April, so we got lucky.
Charlie gonna get this one too.
We don't know so far.
No, we better know. Not.
We are all on the board. I happen to have. Well, I guess if you look at it, I have.
You happen to have.
Mm-hmm. I made you watch the movie twice.
Yes.
I take it.
Somebody
it wins.
Made the wheel. Somebody.
You got to get off that, man. I don't know how to make the wheel any more fair.
What's not fair? We don't know how to make the wheel.
I don't see as that's my problem that you don't know how to
it
make
it. It feels
the wheel.
Like it.
Look, so far, no whammies. Okay. I hope I didn't just jinx myself, but so far, no whammies.
Whammy.
Stop it. Stop it. You want your pick picked, right? So we'll see.
Maybe the whammy.
But anyway, tune in over on our Instagram, and I think I've been trying to shoot for Fridays. It seems like a good day to drop the Wheel of Pain. That way, if you do want to watch the movie, mm-hmm. you got a few days to watch it. Yeah, before the episode drops. So that it. I think this has been a successful month. What do you think, Nate? You created this.
I'm very happy with this. I could see us doing this again next year.
Yeah.
I think so.
This is a fun concept to throw a wild card in there.
Like, we don't have a theme. We just like throw chaos.
It's stuff that we all want to throw in, but you know,
I don't know how this is going
to probably wouldn't throw to the table usually.
Well, that was my picks. Like, so far, that's exactly what it's been like. When would I have been able to fit any of these into our theme months? Virtuosity or Highlander 2? I mean, I would have had to squeeze these in somewhere.
Yeah, even Dead and Loving It a bit on the dodgy side.
That's exactly what
comedy,
it was.
But you threw it in the Wheel of Chaos, so yeah.
And it worked.
Yep,
it Carnosaur, as much as the fun as we had with that. You know, it's like we don't really have a dinosaur month. You know, so it's like, hey, let's do that. Or a
Roger Corman month.
I was going to say, we could probably get away with a Roger Corman month.
We probably should.
The gears are now turning.
Roger Corman's 98. We should probably do a Roger Corman month.
R.I.P. Cronenberg. Anyway, let's see.
Death Race 2000.
Have we been anywhere, Nate? I think our guest appearances are all announced.
I think they're all announced. Nate has to take a little backseat from guest appearances for a while because your boy's busy. Mm-hmm. So it's probably just Charlie and Pete.
Yep. Or
nobody
just
wants
Charlie.
Me, and I'm okay with that.
Pete's like, no one wants me. I'm the Highlander 2 of the group.
I'm the pretty one, not the smart one.
That's not the Highlander 2 of the group. I'll tell you that right now.
That makes Nate Highlander 3, though. So.
I'm cool with that.
He's like, I'm on.
He gets the good sex scene with Bush.
Yeah, I'm Bush.
Love Bush. Anyway, moving on.
Carry on.
If you want to keep up with everything we got going on here, you can follow us over at Give Me Back My Action Movies, the Facebook group. Give Me Back My Horror Movies, the Facebook group. Both of us are on Instagram, which is where you can witness the Wheel of Pain at least one more time this month, or go watch the other videos. And if you've missed them, they were a lot of fun to film. We totally didn't do those all in a row, and we're not kayfabing everyone that we don't know what the next movie is.
Never have, never will.
No, or that we took 2 weeks off in the middle of all of this.
Never have, never will.
No one will even know that. We are also on X. We are on TikTok. We are on Threads. We are on YouTube. We're everywhere. Please go rank us 5 stars over on Spotify, Apple. Leave us a review. Those really do kind of help kind of push, get us out there. Please go check out all of our friends. You know, if you heard the commercials today and anyone we interact with, please go support them. Especially, and we haven't done this in a little while, so, you know, in lieu of not giving you a good movie, Pete, how about you tell everybody a little bit about Good Beer, Bad Movie Night?
Oh, Good Beer, Bad Movie Night. That was my original, it is my original podcast. That's we review movies and drink good beer. We just recorded, that was last night. We recorded Congo, talked about Ernie Hudson, Tim Curry, and a criminally underused Bruce Campbell.
Bruce Campbell
is the greatest.
Yep.
But yeah, that's what we do. We have a good time. It's once a month because the other folks in that podcast are extremely busy with children and lives. And since I don't have either, I've joined you guys for the most.
He plays with us.
I do. So yeah, come check us out. Whatever. I'm almost as bad as Nate at promoting that podcast.
That's okay. That's why I totally threw it at you cold like that.
I wasn't ready for it.
That was funny. Is Congo your April release?
What is this month?
April.
April. No, it will be May.
Okay, Congo, so that one won't be out. What's your
Tammy
April
and the
release?
T-Rex is coming out in April.
It will be out. So by the time this comes out, go check out their Tammy and the T-Rex episode.
Which is actually not a bad movie.
Pete still doesn't understand time travel. So that's just...
Pete doesn't know.
Now that I do the math...
We are Planet Zeist. and you are future Earth that we are trying to.
And we're going to zap you to the future.
We had so much fun with Tammy and the T-Rex. That was a blast.
That is a good bad movie. That's awesome. Right there.
Go watch that one. It's wonderful.
Yep. So, all right. Well, that was a good little plug for Good Beer, Bad Movie Night. And that is it for our Month of Chaos episode of Highlander 2, the double feature. So, gentlemen, they didn't say it in this movie, but I'm going to say it for our episode. There can be only one.
Okay, so I got one more example of how this movie was ripe for a comedy versus what we got. So on the plane, when Sean Connery is flying from wherever to wherever, they played a safety video.
Yes.
And it might be the greatest safety video. You've seen... like driving videos, what is it? Red asphalt or whatever, or bloody blacktop. This was death from a mile high or something. Because everyone in the plane is screaming and running around like chickens with their head cut off, and the oxygen masks are falling out of the ceiling, and they're strapping them on their butts, and people are climbing over everybody.
And it keeps cutting to Sean Connery reacting to
yes.
He has, he's from the past. He has no concept of flying. So he's already like trying to figure it out. And it keeps like, he's like looking at people like, is this normal? Like, what is going on? Like, he's immortal. Put that in your brain. He can't die. And he's the one that's scared.
And then he turns to the gal next to him and says, is this normal? She's like, sure, just start drinking or whatever.
Yeah, they have a good old time.
Look, the two of them have a really
good old time. It doesn't get that way, but do you think Sean Connery hit the Mile High Club?
I would definitely
Sean twice. Connery,
for heaven's sakes, probably twice with two different women on the same plane.
Yep.
And it was only a 30-minute flight.
Because he's like, where am I going to get this opportunity again?
He didn't. I'm he invented die. The club.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe that's what it was. I don't know.
Am I allowed to ask the audience for a dollar again?
It depends on what the dollar is for.
Well,
Nate.
I found a Highlander 10th anniversary leather jacket for $87.70 on eBay.
Nate, you have big person money.
Yeah.
You can make a bad decision.
Money?
Is that what you sent us in this link?
No. That first one, the link is for Charlie. The second one, the link is for you fellas. Now, I also found a denim jacket that I would also like, you know, so if everyone were to send me a dollar, I could eventually get a leather jacket that says Highlander or a denim jacket that says Highlander.
Nate, it's $80. Just spend the money.
Or if 80 people send a dollar, Pete.
We're not. No, don't.
I'm just saying, fellas, look at this jacket. It'll fit me.
Yeah. It's definitely not going to fit me. Because I would be Chris Farley in Fat Guy in a Little Coat. Yeah, that would have been me on that. I can't fit into those things that you guys know. No, whatever. People don't send them a dollar.
No, $1, people.
Don't send.
Address to Nate.
Don't do it. Send a dollar. Send a dollar to Nacho.
Are you fucking Santa Claus? Address North Pole, and it'll get to me eventually.
Nate, Columbus, Ohio.
Nate.
It'll find its way.
Nate,
there can only be one dollar.
Back my action movie, care of Nate at Columbus.com.
Run it through me first. I'll make sure he gets the dollar.